Good morning. Had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but I'm here. I am Dr. Christina Hines. Today is February the 23rd, 2021, working remotely via Zoom. That's why we had a little difficulty, but still, we are here. Welcome. It is my pleasure to be with you once again. The numbers to call are, well, the number to call is 434-1790, and you can reach us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. That is for your messages only. I really welcome your calls, your concerns, anything you want to share with us today. I'll start with telling you a little bit about what I have been thinking about. And there's so many things I've been thinking about, to be honest. I know people are very concerned about and have been talking a lot about vaccinations for COVID-19, what is happening with COVID-19. I've also observed some interesting conversations about the economy at this point. I listened to Brass Tacks Sunday and I heard Dr. Kevin Greenidge speak, and people called in and asked him questions. I thought it was useful that people had the ability to ask him questions. I also watched part of a show that was on Sunday night. He was on again, as well as Marla Ducharan. And what I thought was interesting about that was a point that Marla Ducharan made. And she said, very interestingly to me, that the position we're in now has a lot to do with the influx of tourists last year. And that what I understood from what she was saying was that the benefit of those tourists coming in, visitors, I should say, not just tourists, travelers, did not necessarily outweigh the costs that we are currently facing. She noted that now, despite all of the discussion about debt, that our emphasis should really be on the creation of jobs because a lot of people are unemployed. And she also noted, which I thought was interesting, I hadn't heard anyone else say it up to this point. She said that for now, we can hold off on focusing on tourism for a bit because we have adequate foreign reserves to carry us through for a little while. The emphasis should be on jobs, but she noted the contradiction here, which is that a lot of our jobs, a lot of our employment comes from the tourist sector. So the question then remains, how would we generate these jobs? Related to this is the fact that in the UK, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, announced just yesterday a plan for the UK to move out of their lockdown. And in his plan, what I noted was that travel outside of the UK would not be permitted until May, the earliest. May 17th was the date that I noted, the earliest. So we do have, and that's one of our major source markets. So we do have a little bit of time to wait before we even have the opportunity to see that return of travelers into Barbados. And we also know that for Canada, it is April. So we do have some time in which we can address COVID-19 domestically and see what we can do at home in the absence of travelers. The other thing that I thought was interesting about that was that in this plan, there was the emphasis in the first phase, as early as March, to get children back in schools. And in the US, I also noted that this is a priority. Joe Biden, the president there, is aiming to get many children back into school in his first 100 days. Oh my gosh, not 100 years. He can't be in office 100 years. His first 100 days in office. And this reminded me of when we had Dr. Carter as a COVID czar. One of the things that he said early on was how important it is to have children in school. He emphasized, based on his experience in dealing with Ebola, the significance of having children physically at school, not just for education, although the education side is clearly important. So, not just in the book sense, but also because there are other social functions that schools serve. Children have the ability to socialize with each other. There is a sense of community that can be generated. There's some safety sometimes that people are able to experience at school that they may not experience other places. Not that everything about school is safe, because we know there are problems with bullying and there are other issues relating to schools as well. but also the ability for people to be fed with school meals in primary schools. And I know that there are some school meal functions in secondary schools also. And at a time when we are giving out care packages to ensure that people are fed, this might be useful. So those are just some of my early musings for the morning. I just wanted to share them with you. And now I hope you will share your thoughts with me. So let's go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Yes.
Good morning. Hi, this is Glenn Marie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Good, good. I also noticed some of the things that you mentioned by your opening gambit, but also some other aspects of it. I noticed that it seemed to be all part of a well-coordinated PR plan, PR blitz, taking place on the weekend, particularly on Sunday. I think it's probably part of a political tactic to change the national narrative from some heavily focusing on COVID to the economy, which with the estimates coming up and major budgetary statement, that I think is laying the groundwork for that. And also because of this bill being debated by Parliament, they have to do with new payment methods, electronic payment methods for the country and whatnot. But I also noticed that focused on those very good same points on the observations by Ms. Dukaran. But what I found was interesting was that particularly on the people's business, on the people's station, paid for by the taxpayers, was that it was said to be the true state of the Barbados economy as it was promoted.
But that was interesting.
But then, you mean only the government-selected people or certain persons can give you the true picture? Only a select narrow group can give you the picture. To me, that's a contradiction. That invalidates the whole idea. There was no contrary view. The only person who came close to offering an alternative point of view was Ms. Dukaran. I thought she was spot on. I'm very, very succinct and very meaningful in her undertaking. But I want to talk. I really called to talk about COVID. Because you probably grown up and you probably experienced it too. Where there was a certain Hello? Hello, are you still there? Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, there's a certain, you know, each country has a certain stereotype attached to it by outsiders particularly. And part of the stereotype of Barbados has been that we were very calm, placid, almost boring, conservative, docile people, very meek and mild, probably always ready to follow the rules and obey.
Clearly, that's not the case.
What fascinates me particularly, and COVID has shown that either has changed or it was never ever so. And maybe all it is now that with the social media and other means of communication, people don't have a chance to express views in a way that other people did not. Right? And then, but what is interesting? If it has changed, what would have changed it? Was it just exposed to outside influences and other information? Was it a general increase in education level to society where people are now in a position to challenge authority figures and authority statements because of their own increased education or their children or their friends or generally upgrading of the society's access to information and use of information? And so therefore, I think that could be one reason, but I think in the absence of a scientific survey, I think there's certain speculations can be raised or questioned up. What has fascinated me is to what could be the problem. If it's not the people, not only the people, and let me say that Barbados have not always been 100% compliant on everything in government. That is understood. Otherwise, there'd be no disputes, there'd be nothing in the courts to do, etc. But generally speaking, I think it's accepted by observation and anecdotal evidence that Barbados, in this instance, has been largely compliant, obedient, following as dictated by the authorities in most instances. Right? But I'm wondering, with those who have not, what would be the reason? Was it the message? Was it the messenger? was the medium of delivering the message. What Wycliffe contributed to that state of affairs that we have seen, where people prepared to go against national characteristics and want to do things. Is it that people felt that they didn't like the way they were being communicated with all the time?
But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you think that this is true or this is a myth? Because there was an exhibition or exhibit, it's probably the correct word, at the Barbados Museum.
Uh-huh.
This was last year. Was it last year or the year before? I can't quite remember. But it was about protests, political protests in Barbados.
Right.
And I know that Life in Leggings was partially involved, if not responsible, for this being hosted at the Barbados Museum. And one of the things that I think this illustrated was that Barbadians are not necessarily passive. They may have a particular way of exhibiting their discontent or displeasure with particular circumstances and issues that arise that may not seem as militant, it may not be as militant as in other places. But I don't know that it is true that Barbadians are passive. I wonder the extent to which this is a sort of national myth that we use to have this image of Barbados and why Barbados is viewed as successful and so on. But I'm not certain the extent to which this is reality versus a narrative. Even this idea of Barbadians being rule followers. Barbadians are rule followers. However, people were still showing up at the polyclinic to get vaccinated without an appointment. They were not going, they were not protesting, they weren't blaming down the doors or anything. However, they were doing what they wanted to do, what they felt was the correct thing for them to do, despite whatever the government has to say. So I think there's a way that we have in Barbados of not being compliant without necessarily being militant or aggressive with the non-compliance, if that makes sense. This is just my perspective on it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's just that I remember raising it in the context of a stereotype. So
right,
I understand
right.
It is not necessarily true, but that is the way that has been the traditional perception and where we have been characterized and portrayed by others. Mm-hmm. But as a Barbadian myself, and involving human Barbadian behavior over the years, I never thought that that was an accurate reflection of who Barbadians were. I think that, for example, that our level of education has allowed us to be able to be very measured, calculating, people who can have fairly dispassionate thought about various national issues, and we don't just react emotionally to something which we don't quite understand or whatever. So I have a
colleague in Jamaica. Her name is at Mona. She's now at Mona. She's left, but she's back at Mona again. Her name is Maziki Tame. And she has an interesting article that she wrote in which she talked about the layout of Barbados being partially responsible for this. The fact that we had all of these signal stations, that Barbados is relatively flat. So there's a level of surveillance that was practical and that occurred in Barbados that was not present in other parts of the region because of the topography and the geography. She also talked about the way in which we have always had, and this is from colonial times, heavy police presence and a heavy level of militarization in Barbados. And one of the assertions that she points out in this article, and she's doing a comparison between Barbados and Jamaica, is that Barbadians have had to find more subtle and covert ways of expressing their discontent because of this history. And I think that is an interesting perspective to bear in mind, you know? And you know, she goes all the way back to colonization. So this is not a post-independence Barbados scenario. This is something that has been passed down over generations because of the heavily authoritarian and policed setting that we had in Barbados.
Well, I am familiar with that perception, with that perspective from doing Barbadian Caribbean history and mm-hmm. looking at slavery, etc. But at the same time, we like you said, you're quite right. We were not large. We didn't have mountains and hills and valleys to run and hide like in Jamaica. So we can have the maroon. People found other means of resistance, what was called passive resistance, where people, there's evidence that people would spit into them. If they were cooks, they were showing a resentment or resistance by seeking to spoil or spitting into the food being cooked for the ruling class. There were instances where women aborted themselves rather than bring slaves into the tea. And where people were sabotaged crops to show the reason, because there was no real right to run and hide because we were so flat and easily accessible, and they had the militia that you could be easily detected and punished. So we, like is the hallmark of human beings, you have to adapt to survive, which is what the COVID virus is doing. You have to change your approaches to survive in order to live to tell the tale another day. And I think that's what Barbados have done. But I thought that I would bring that up before I exhaust that, one. Remember, I mentioned about the messengers and the messengers and the media used to convey the message. One of the noticeable, not absentees, but background institutions in Barbados was that of GIS. Mm-hmm. GIS seems to have been, if not pushed in the background, sidetracked, and some of the instances where political figures, for example, came and were involved in the COVID press conferences, I thought that was a mistake. I think that immediately a politician is going to give a political spin and try to purport the side he supports in the best possible light. I thought it should be pure scientists. I had been calling for virologists and epidemiologists. Only now and we begin to hear from them. I thought they should be brought in earlier to explain the trends in the COVID occurrence, and people would have had an earlier, more scientific base understanding as we go along as to what there was no modeling. I heard modeling had been going on in this post at UWE, but there was nothing being brought to the public to educate the public so that they can follow and work out things to themselves as they went along. But I thought that an independent figure out of GS, like a person like Gladstone Holder or Tony Cave or Margaret Hope or Carol Ince, Erskine Keller, would have added that kind of professional, dispassionate objectivity to the involvement in the introduction of ministers or speakers or whatever. Because
I wonder now if it's too late for some of that, though, because I think people are so weary of, I mean, weary as in tired, of these press conferences. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but many of them. I think people are growing a little tired of the press conferences, so it may not matter too much now who you bring. But as I said, that may just be me. People may be enjoying them.
All right. Well, my one last statement is that I've said from the time that there's a crisis communication method and methodology and process in all more sense, which if that had been employed, would have avoided some of these missteps. All right.
Mm. Okay. All right, well, thank you so much for your call this morning. Do take care. Let's take another call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi. Hello, you're on the air.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I am blessed and I'm trying to stay safe. I hope you're doing the same.
I am doing my best to try to stay safe.
Yeah, we are trying. We all are trying, but it's an unguarded moment for every man. Okay,
and sometimes people don't even make mistakes and they still end up falling ill. So we just have to do what we can do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. On Sunday evening, the Minister of Health, in his conversation with the Nation, right, he said that persons who have symptoms related to COVID should remain at home. This won't help me.
They should remain at home, as in they should not be mingling with the rest of the community.
Good. Okay, you listen to me carefully.
Yes.
Where are these people going? Where will they be going? Okay, the hospital at one time was reluctant in seeing people with COVID symptoms. Your doctor, when you call the doctor, you speak to his nurse or secretary, and she relate the matter to him and the symptoms are like COVID. Big no-no here. He's not seeing you. Okay. You can't go down to Harrison's Point because you have to be at home until a special unit come and pick you up. And this is after you. I know of a family that spent 19. I start fast, Scott. You question me again. And see you 19 days home before they were picked up. I know of somebody who spent almost 14 days before they were picked up. Now, all of that time, you may be getting worse. It may leave your body, or it may be getting worse. Okay, but you still have to wait till they pick you up. I want to know if the Harrison's Point facility have reached their capacity, as in numbers. The minister did not say that. All he said was this special unit have to come and pick you up. Another thing, too, I am worried. Let's say you have a COVID person, somebody who has tested COVID, tested positive for COVID in your house. Yes, you got about 4 or 5 people in the house. We get scared, okay, and we go down to get tests. The test came back negative. But, you know, you still got to go back in the house with that person that didn't pick up yet.
But I heard them also say that in those circumstances, they were offering to put people in hotels where they cannot safely quarantine or isolate, I think the word is, at home.
You know why you call that because, you know why you call it annoyed. He said that on the phone, but it ain't happening. I'm speaking facts. I know of a family that it happened to. The people went and get tested and still got to go back to live with that person in there. And that is not fair. If you are clean and you go back, possibilities are you could get infected. Don't only talk it. If you say talk and do, or you got it there all laid out, and as soon as I talk, I can move off with it. Okay? I want answers. I want to know if they have reached their capacity down there. I am hearing this ain't factual now. I am hearing that down there it's only supposed to host about 200 and they're all gone to about 3. I had a friend down there, he tell me down there is crowded. Mm. Crowded.
This is Harrison Point.
Yes, he told me that about almost a month ago, because he came out a certain time, and he said down there it's crowded. Someone said that they were just sending people up to Blackman and Gallup, because there ain't no room for the people down there. And if it's crowded, at one time they said they were going to look at a different facility somewhere to put house them. That was thought, because they ain't come up no more with it. If they have reached the capacity, I mean, I blame my government. I put some on the citizens of Barbados that were still young, especially guys that still running around without masks. And, you know, they can pick it up and take it on to the old parents, the grandparents, right? I put some blame on them, on we, the citizens of Barbados. But if they know they have reached their capacity, I would say, look, somewhere else, they're always done. America, China, big hotel, and 5 days, America had to get tents and put in the parking thing. Find somewhere to put these people, don't let them stay home, and then when they come, you can hear that they can turn up too late, that's why they're dead. But they can only turn up when you come and collect them. They can't turn up on their own. They got to do something to help these people. I am hurting. Bye.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry to hear that, and I hope your concern will be heard. Thank you for your call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 434-1790 or via WhatsApp at 266-4862. I am Christina Hines, and I welcome your calls. Let's take one now. Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm Mr. B. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'll say this, because he knows if everybody asks that question, I just don't know how to answer.
You don't know how to answer?
Nope. No. You see, as I always say, don't be about me, it's about people.
Okay, tell me what you want to say. Tell us.
When this pandemic first started to blow, I got on this station and I said that it's going to be handled the same way the AIDS epidemic was handled.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't you
Which is how?
You try to conceal things. There comes they got to get that carpet. And when the carpet is taken up, all this stuff on it, they're just choking. Right? I always say it's best to tell people what's really going on. And it will give them a greater sense of awareness. But when you give people the impression that everything, we don't have anything to fear, obviously people are letting on the guard. Whether man listen to the weather forecast, I hear when the man said the rain ain't going to fall today. Ready where the man know that rain gonna fall, but he'd make it public and the rain gonna fall.
Meteorologists do that.
No, just using that as an example. Right?
Okay, go ahead.
This is not as an example. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to David yesterday and I mentioned something to him. I don't think he fully understood what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot only penalize those people who have been breaking protocols. If I have a supermarket and you come on my premises and your vehicle is damaged, I am responsible. Don't mind all these foolish things that they are not liable, because a late lawyer told me that thing is just a scare tactic. Mm-hmm. It isn't so that you come at purity and you're going over to Emore. Better to go over to Emore and park up any other New Yorker, that's your business. But you come at purity, conduct business at purity. I was telling David, because I have realized there are a lot of business places, not only supermarket, that don't have marked lines indicating distance. I saw people on Friday at a certain supermarket bunch up because there were no painted lines after a certain distance. He mentioned the Dormall. There is a set pattern that people take when they're going to the Dorm Mall. Also at Sunset Crest, the Dorm Shift, they always use that particular pattern. In the interest of people's safety and health, I would suggest that lines are marked right out. That's what I would suggest. We have to do everything that is possible to limit or get rid of this thing. If this thing continues, this pandemic is going to go nowhere. Nowhere. How much a tin of paint is going to cost? I remember I was at a supermarket and they only had lines marked under the canopy of the supermarket. Not beyond that. I told a manager, I look at the car park at the time and said, you know something? These car spaces are about 6 foot. Why not let people put down some arrows indicating the path that the line will go and let people use the lines at the car park? You understand what I'm saying?
But I have a question for you now. All right. So what you're saying is ideal. The supermarkets, any business place that's open should have the distance marked out. But if you go somewhere and this is not marked, don't we have individual responsibility to make sure we keep the social distance? I mean, if the supermarkets don't have this done, each of us can make sure that we are maintaining the distance. And if you see, and this is what the Prime Minister said, right? If you see somebody too close to you, tell them, press back, you know, step back a bit or you move. So I think, yes, there is a role for the institutions to do what they have to do, but each of us also needs to do what we need to do to protect ourselves.
It's all right for the Prime Minister to say what she said. But this is the bad bit is that the Prime Minister grew up in, and I grew up in. People have become hostile. We can't tell them how morning you want to get it. And as I said,
sometimes we have to make decisions for ourselves too, right? So if you go somewhere and you realize it's not safe, you may need to decide these people are not doing what needs to be done. This business place does not have the correct regulations in place. So I'm leaving and I will go someplace that has a better system. I know it's not always easy to do that, especially if you're catching public transportation, you have limited funds and you have spent them to go to a particular place. You know, to decide to go somewhere else is not as easy as that. But I think we still have to do our own decision making and protect ourselves, because I don't know who's going to save us. If we end up at Harrison Point, the supermarket or wherever it was that you went that didn't have the marking is not coming to help you. Yeah. Well, thank you for your call.